Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning and welcome to Celebration Church. You've come to a special service today where we're celebrating 2023, the things that God has done. And also, this is a little trial run of Testimony Sundays for next year. We're going to be hearing from five or six different people in our church of testimonies of the Father's favor from this year. But first things first, who is ready for some statistics? Oh my gosh. Love it. Host team, can we hand out stat reports? These are for your fridge. They don't include a magnet. It's BYO magnet. Hopefully you've got a magnet. Steal it off our Merry Christmas hamper or something. Every year we like to take a moment to just look back on some of the things that God has done. So don't read them yet. Just get them. Quick, host, run, host. Come on, my gosh. Okay. One in-house thing before we read these together is next Sunday, Family Fun Day. This is an opportunity to gather and bring. The next two Sundays, our Family Fun Day Christmas spec and our Christmas Eve service. These are services ready for people to come and encounter Jesus. So please invite your family, invite friends. Let's fill this service. Let's send our kids team into absolute chaos. Let's make sure we're gathering for the next 2 weeks. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's finish our year with God's favor, bringing salvations to families, to friends. Sound good? Okay, some stats. Our total reach for our church this year, including Connects, Fridays, Young Adults, Sunday services, Community Connects, was 803 different individuals. We had 239 decisions to follow Jesus this year. We have a little graphic there of our demographic breakdown. It's hard to see on that screen, but you've got it in your hand. That's perfectly fine. With our largest demographic, Nat B, adults and families. We did it. We made it. I noticed the other demographics didn't clap us then. That's fine. We forgive you. 3,759 coffee shots consumed. 759 of them were Peter Frith, which is exciting. 518,400 seconds of streaming and podcasts. We're down to seconds. We're really counting. 1,100 sausages cooked on barbecue Sundays by our youth. And it took us 36 hours to consume them. Who reckons they could have 1,000 sausages faster than that? I reckon that's... I'm going to question Claudia about that. 637 minutes spent at department leaders meeting this year by our department leaders. 25,052 cars have passed through our driveway this year. Midweek, Wayne and Mary drive in and out 20 times a day, so we counted them. Tonight we're going to celebrate them, but we have 25 new volunteers that have joined Sunday, Friday teams this year. So thank you if you've joined. If you're not serving on a team, shame on you. Join a team. No, not shame on you. Oh, I don't know. Just join a team. You've got something to give. We want you involved. 534 bridges sung in praise and worship. We did two today. They're not in this, but we'll count them now. 229 new people, visitors and guests. So that's inside of our city, and that's people traveling, coming and sitting, being a part. There have been pastors that have come in to be refreshed. We are a church that has people every single Sunday come and sit and be a part. So that is exciting. We're halfway. 54 people at our biggest worship team night. Oh my gosh. I was at the second biggest, there was 52 there, but then they had Pastor Benaiah come, so those extra two people came out. 34 speakers, preachers, worship leaders, and service leaders have been on our platform. 56 men, we're winning, and 44 females. Very silent. Maybe next year, girls, maybe next year. 53,507 social media views, likes, and comments. $55,078 given in our celebration offering. Our ways to give continue to move online. We have 4% cash and check, 8% FPOS. But where are my online givers? 91%. That's, well, hopefully it's more than 90. Okay, that's just past the Nats offering, 91%. $9,376.29 of fundraising and sponsorships to get our youth to camp. I love that our church believes in the next generation, not just by word, but by dollars, actually helping young people that wouldn't have been able to be at camp. 71 different churches have been mentored, pastored, and encouraged by our pastoral team, which is, I think, triple every other year. So we've been able to be a well for people and help the shepherds across our region, across our state, and we might hear a little bit more about that later. 54 mums and bubs reached through our new Mums and Bubs Community Connect. So if you're a mum or you're a bub, which I think means baby, not just, you can't just call you, you can't just, okay. 15 people baptized this year. You got baptized, that's exciting. 12 youth injuries on our new gym mats. The new gym mats are going to be the death of myself and Pastor Benaiah. They're always wet. And they're always out here. Anyone driving this morning and see wet gym mats out here? Youth. 2,521 tiny teddies consumed in our baby's room. That is just by the team themselves. They didn't share them with the babies. Only fruit for them. And we have 101 different leaders and volunteers involved in our church. Can I just encourage you, church, as you're finishing your year, let's celebrate the things that God has done corporately. But today is a service where we get to look back and celebrate the favor that God has done. It takes discipline to make sure you're looking at Jesus, not at your giants. It takes discipline to lock eyes with Him in the midst of storms. So no matter the ups and the downs of this year, God is good. Amen. And He is worth celebrating. He is worth praising. He is worth exalting. So can I encourage you, we're nearly at the end of the race, but be disciplined in what you celebrate. Be disciplined in what you amplify in your life. Share the good things that God has done. There's going to be a link on our screen at the end of today's service for you to share your testimonies and the favor that God has done in your life. Let's be a church that knows how to celebrate loudly the good things that God has done. Amen? Sound good? Turn to the person next to you and say, that was informative. Informative. I like that. That was great. It's great. Informative. Well, we are going to come around some testimonies in the Word, so why don't we put our hands together and welcome up Pastor Charlie as she shares with us this morning.
Beautiful. Do we have stools, seats? Yes? Amazing. That would be fantastic. This little pregnant lady needs a little seat. Thank you. Look. Anyway, I was going to say, so this morning, obviously, it's a little bit of a different service. We call this our celebration service, where we just get to honour everything that God has done this year, obviously honour the team, like we've already talked about, that has been a part of making this year happen. And we, this year, we're focusing on the theme of the Father's favour, and the Father's favour in a couple of areas of promotion, protection, provision, and His presence. This whole idea that when we are as a child of God, you know, we come into the family of God, but with that we inherit an inheritance, right? That is who He is, and that as who He is, He offers us that promotion, protection, presence, and provision just based on His character. And we as His kids, as His sons and daughters, just get to receive off that. And we wanted to just highlight this morning a couple of stories that have come out of this year of the Father's favor and share some testimonies with you guys, because it's great that we can, you know, come up here and do our prayer and praise reports. We can honor testimonies through that. We can honor testimonies on our website. But I also reckon it's really cool when you get to hear from the people their story, right? Yes, come on, Celebration Church. We can celebrate. That's okay. So we're going to go through a couple of people this morning and just hear their story, hear the story of what God's done in their life, which I think is really cool. I love a little bit of story time. And the reason we do this, it says in Revelations 19, verse 10, this testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we do this for two reasons. We do this obviously to honor God, to bring him all the glory, to be able to share what he's done, celebrate what he's done. But we also believe that when we're sharing testimony, we're prophesying what has happened, that it can happen. So if you're sitting in this room and we're going to spend a couple of moments praying for each one of these testimonies, if you're in the room and you think, oh, I need that. Like maybe I haven't yet seen God come through with the provision. Maybe I haven't yet seen God come through with the protection or the provision or the promotion. We're going to spend some time just praying for you guys to receive that and to receive that as we're sharing the testimony that we're prophesying into your own life and your own situation that God can do it. Amen? Does that sound good? So the first person that we're going to welcome up is Matt. Yay! I'll move these a little bit closer. Does Matt have a mic? Oh, there's a mic. Oh, do you have a... Got a mic there. Beautiful. So, if anyone hasn't met Matt, this is Matt. Say hi, Matt.
Hello, everybody.
Good. So, Matt, you have a testimony that you want to share with us about provision. And just a little bit of a background to Matt's story is that he was working, but working all over the state. So he would travel every day. They live down here, they're based down here. But you would be traveling multiple times a week. You have a young family. You're married to beautiful Nat, who is up here on Keys, and they have a son, Ezzy. And so for his job, it was a great job. They felt called to come down here, move down here. But with his work, was traveling in multiple locations throughout the week, wasn't often home throughout the week with his family. And it could be from Gold Coast, Central Coast, back again.
Yep.
Yeah? So all of that sort of stuff. So yep. Why don't you tell us, I guess, a little bit, maybe a bit of the background and what God's done for you this year.
Okay. So, yeah, as Pastor Charlie mentioned, we moved down here about 2 years ago. I didn't have a job at that time, like a local sort of a job, but sort of took a bit of a sabbatical, had some long service leave. I'm older than I look. I'd worked at the same job for over 10 years before that. But I was doing some subcontracting work and I was looking for something local, but then one of the companies I was doing subcontracting work for, they offered me a full-time role, but it was like for like a... a state manager sort of a role, but it was a very small company, so I ended up just doing everything, traveling like a crazy amount. So I'd like drive to like the probably like one of the easiest commutes was like going to Sydney pretty much every day, but then like I'd often go to like the Central Coast, do like day trips to like Newcastle or whatever, and then I'd have to do like day trips interstate and whatnot. So I was doing like a silly amount of travel, huge days. So I'd been there for about 12 months, but I'd reached my tether well before then. So I was like, the local job journey has been about 2 years to get to this point now, but God has definitely come through now, so awesome. It's good. But I don't know. What do you want me to keep going? Some more details.
I mean, how crazy. I mean, some of us, we live down the coast, and to drive into town in Nowra sometimes it's like, boo.
I've heard you guys complain about driving to Nowra or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So then it's like Matt is literally doing these massive, huge kilometre day trips with a young family. We would know what that would feel like. I would know what that would feel like having Benaiah gone for extended periods of time. So you guys were in desperate need of a change of season.
Yes. I was praying pretty hard. Lots of people I know, the church family was praying hard for me, which was really cool. So, I'd reached my tether a little while ago, doing a silly amount of travel, started applying for some local jobs, ended up missing out. So like part of the testimony, this is sort of an encouragement for some people as well. So I did interview for quite a lot of positions. I ended up missing out on all of them up until this point, which in hindsight was amazing because the job I'm at now is excellent. But I was a bit disheartened at the time because I thought they were going to be great. I thought they were going to be the one, local staff. But there was some like things, like there were some boxes that they didn't tick. So yeah, in hindsight, I'm glad I didn't get them. So I went through all that, interviewed, missed out, this, that, and the other. But because I was like, man, I was doing way too much travel. So I'm like, look, I need something else. This job ad came up, and it was actually, so I'm trying to work out how I'm going to order this. Like the position that I'm in now wasn't actually advertised. The role that I went to interview for was actually a Sydney job, just a normal Sydney job. Because I was like, look, a normal Sydney job would be better than traveling to like Central Coast and interstate. I'm like, I'd rather just go to Sydney. So I was like, let me just go and see what this guy has to say. Went there. So I think that was the prompting of the spirit, just to be like, look, just go and interview for this job and see what happens. So I did. Then another prompting, in hindsight, I would say, I didn't really realize it at the time. I called up a friend of mine on the way to the interview. He like works in the industry that I'm in. So I'm a elevator technician, which sort of, I don't know, adds more context because there's not many elevators around Nara, but
a lot of skyscrapers in Nara.
there's not many skyscrapers, but it is like a local, like a South Coast based job. So went for this interview. On the way, when I was driving to the interview, I thought, oh, let me just call up this guy I know in the industry and just see what he knows about this certain company that I'm at now. So literally minutes as I was like about to walk into the interview, I called up my mate, had a chat to him. I'm like, oh, what do you know about this company? He's sort of rattling off a few things. And he's like, oh, come to think of it, I think they might have some South Coast based work. I'm like, interesting, pretty cool. So put that in my back pocket. I didn't really say too much at the start of the interview. I just sort of went through the motions, played it cool, I guess, I was interviewing with the general manager of this place. I tried to drop a couple of little hints that I was like, oh, look, yeah, I know this is a Sydney role, but I'm actually based South Coast. And he was like, yeah, look, I know, but like the best we have at the moment is sort of like Western, like not North Sydney or like Western Sydney. So I'm like, okay, fair enough. I brought it up again, like at the end of the interview, and he's like, and he sort of paused and he's like, oh, actually, like now that you mention that again, I think we might have some South Coast work available. And I was like, nice. So like the tip off from my mate paid off because I just sort of kept on like sort of hinting at it. So mid interview, he stops, he calls up this other lady, who's my current boss, and he's like, oh, hey, do we have some South Coast work available? And they're sort of chatting. I'm just sitting there like twiddling my thumbs at this point, hoping and praying. They're sort of chatting away, and it turns out that yes, she was like, yeah, we do actually. So I was like, sweet. Then his tune sort of changed at that point because it sort of was a situation that worked out for both of us. Like I sort of filled the hole that they had and it worked for me as well. So we were both cheering. And yeah, so like quick summary, it's like it was a non-advertised position. So that was like a miracle. Local work in my industry, which is like a miracle. It's pretty rare position to come up. It came with a car, so I was like a manager in my previous role, but this role has basically got more autonomy than what I had before, the weird sort of setup where I was before, and it's more money actually, like, which is, it's insane, like, which is amazing. So the whole thing's God's all over it, definitely a miracle, and yeah, definitely the Father's favor.
That's so good, amazing, how good's that? It's awesome. I love that it went from, you know, going for different job applications, not getting them, like having that discouragement. And if any of you guys have gone for job interviews, you know how that feels. Like it's really hard to not take that rejection personally sometimes. So to have all of those setbacks, but then like what you said, to get almost handed to you a perfect job, which was not even advertised, or you didn't even know you were even going for that job. It was just like God had totally orchestrated it and set it up. So Do you mind praying for the people in the room? If you're in the room, just a real quick show of hands. If you are in need of a job or promotion or something within that area where at the moment it could be, I don't know, that you don't have a job at all, or it could be that you're looking for a career change, or you feel like your season is shifting. If that's you, do you mind just popping your hand up really quickly in the room? Amazing. We've got lots of hands. Beautiful. All right. I'll just get Matt to pray for you, and let's just receive that testimony as prophecy into your own lives and your own situations. And if you're just not in, if you're in the room and that's not you, why don't we just still continue to pray and believe for these people for their breakthrough miracle in Jesus' name. Thanks, Matt.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you know the journey that each and every one of us are on, Father God. And I thank you that you hold each and every one of us in the palm of your hand, Father God. And thank you that you're directing our steps. Yeah. And we're thankful that in this season, we're just going to look back at where you've brought us, Father God, and also look forward in faith to where you're going to lead us, Father God. And we just want to agree with everyone in this room who might be in this situation where they're looking for a job, where they may be without one, or they're looking for a change, or they're looking for something else, Father God. Thank you that you know each and every one of our situations, and you care about each and every one of our situations, Father God. Thank you that you provide for even the sparrow out in the field, Father God. How much more than us, your children? So I pray for each and every one of these people who are might be in this situation looking for a job, Father God. I thank you that you have something lined up for them already. Yes. And I also pray for the journey that each and every one of us are on, Father God. And even though we might not have our prayer answered right now today, you have an answer for each and every one of our prayers, Father God. So through the journey, through the waiting, through that season of faith, I pray that you'll keep each and every one of us strong, focused on you, and hopeful, Father God, that you do have great plans for us. So I just speak out in faith and just give thanks for each and every one of these people who have raised their hands, that you have something for them, and you're going to just strengthen them in their time of waiting, and then just remind us all to be thankful when that miracle does happen, Father God. We know that the miracle will happen, and you're just going to take us through that season. And we just want to speak faith and favor to each and every one of these people. And I just want to also just be super grateful publicly for where you've brought me, Father God. And I pray that this will just be an encouragement to everyone else, that you have each and every one of their situations, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Why don't we thank Matt? Thanks so much for sharing. Beautiful. Thank you. Amazing. I love that. So that testimony about it, I mean, I guess that's both like God's provision, but also his promotion, right? Like he's almost like elevated Matt to a new position as well. So the next person I want to invite up is Cynthia. I was like, where is she? Let's welcome Cynthia. Yay. This is beautiful Cynthia. If you haven't met her, you've probably seen her on Keys a couple of times. Her and her husband Tony, just a little bit of a backstory, and then I'll get you to share kind of as much as you want to share. They actually came to our church a little while ago in maybe quite a unique season. So they've been pastors on a team at a previous church, and that season kind of ended for them. And when they kind of came here to our church, it was a season, I guess, of just rest and receiving. They had gone through some stuff, and to come here, and you know, they've been part of the local area, and like I said, pastors on team at a previous church, so we knew them, we loved them. And for us, the Celebration Church, we've said it before from the front, but just so you know that it actually does happen, we have always wanted to be a place where anybody can come and just receive. If they're in a season where they might have gone through something and they just want to come and sit and receive that healing, receive that fresh cup of water like we talk about, you know, receiving that fresh cup of water from the well, that they can do that, and they can do that in a safe place. So Synth and Tony and their beautiful kids did that for a season. And I guess your testimony is around the provision of finding a new church family. So we just wanted to hear that story if you want to share.
Sure.
Sure.
It'd be weird if I said no.
I know, now you're up here. Actually, no.
I'm good.
Thanks, everybody. Anyway.
Well, actually, for a few years before we actually came here, a lot of people have holiday homes. This was our holiday church. So we would come here on our holidays. But, yes, we were in a place of a lot of hurt. And if I cry, just roll with me. Yeah, we'll cry together. But we were in a place of hurt. We just felt very lost. And, yeah, I remember it was March 14th after my brother-in-law got married. I sat out in the courtyard. Nat was worship leading, Benaiah, or Pastor Benaiah, was preaching. But they left the door open so I could watch. And I just felt so at home. And I wasn't even connecting with anyone, but I just felt so comfortable and at home. And it was, I think it's just what I needed after feeling so shattered, working in burnout for a long time. I just sat there and I was like, oh, this was so nice. But then everyone I spoke to was just so loving and caring, and I'm slightly different, a bit more. That's probably the easiest way to put it. But everyone accepts me for that, and I just felt so loved. And then I connected with the Websters and the Fritz, the other breeders, and like they weren't just friends, they became family. We would go to them to cry, would laugh with them. There was, our kids are all chaos together, but it was just family. And going through that journey of just feeling accepted and loved for who we are is an amazing journey to go on.
Awesome. And for them as well, like, even, I mean, Tony's been on the bass before as well. You would have seen him up here. Like, I mean, I know we don't often get to hear everybody's story, but the fact that the both of them are not only they found kind of church home, but at a place of, I guess, healing and now on team again is a miracle in itself. Because I remember we would have conversations, and it was, you know, the fact that they're even up here serving on team. They never kind of thought it would happen again. So for them now to be in a position, I guess, where you're sowing into other people that are coming and sitting in our church family, and maybe that's you this morning, that you feel, you know, maybe a little bit lost. You don't really know where your position, where your place is, where you fit. And then these guys have that journey of feeling that, but then going through the process of healing and now being on the end where they can give to our church family to receive that fresh cup of water themselves, I think is amazing.
Which, it was the last sisterhood on the Sunday morning, our countdown. I quickly messaged my friend and said, you should come to sisterhood. I really think you need to come. Didn't even think she would come. She turned up, and now her whole entire family is here. Her 21-year-old actually loved young adults, and they... The word was, it feels like home. It feels like we're family. And I just love that this whole church just makes people feel like you're one or part of the family. You're a cousin, you're an auntie, you're an uncle, you're the crazy auntie, or like whoever you are, but you feel accepted and loved.
So good. So I just wanted to get Cynthia to pray for those of us in the church. And you don't have to put up your hand, I guess, if it's you personally, but I know that there's people in the church that probably have maybe family members that have walked away from God. Maybe there's people that you know that you are waiting to see come back to the family, like prodigal sons coming back, or maybe for the first time receiving salvation. But anyone in your, I guess, sphere of influence where you think actually they need the provision of that finding home, finding family. If that's you, would you mind just putting your hand up, and Cynthia's going to pray for us? Awesome. Awesome, awesome. So do you mind praying for those people, to come home and to find their place?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, God, that you're an amazing God, that you are just loving and caring, and you're just in our every moment, in our wherever we are, whatever the season we're in, you are caring and covering us. And we just pray for those that are just on the outskirts, that we're praying and protect for angels to be protecting over them, but actually guiding them towards you, God, that you are just planting seeds. We're speaking words of hope and love over them, and then they will find your heart once again. So thank you, God. And I just pray for anyone that is looking for family, if they're new here, that they find belonging, they find home, they find aunties and uncles and just family in this place, that they feel like they can be themselves, they can be the quirky, unique self that you made them to be. So thank you, God, for who you are.
Amen. Awesome. Let's thank Cynthia. Thank you, beautiful lady. The next one I want to welcome up is Libby. Yay. Libby. Our son loves Libby, but he doesn't say it with a B. He says it with a V, so she's Libby. Hello. Hi. Libby's testimony, I guess, is about the father's promotion. So you have been in youth leadership for how many years?
This year is 10 years of being a youth leader.
10 years! That is amazing. Yes. Libby's incredible. So she's been a part of our church family and youth for longer than, I was like, I don't know.
I think 13 years.
Yeah, 13 years. But then she's actually been a part of the youth leadership team where she's been discipling young girls for over 10 years. But I guess this year you've just seen some incredible fruit with your girls.
Yeah.
And so we just wanted to celebrate that and hear what God's done in your Connect group and, celebrate.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so, yeah, like we said, I've gotten the privilege of serving on our youth team for 10 years and then being in youth for even longer than that. And, yeah, just getting, like, I've been impacted so much by my Connect leader, who was Ange Watson. Shout out to Ange. She was amazing. And then I've had other leaders impact me, like people like Beth Wazatka and people like you and Pastor Benaiah and Pastor Joel and Alex. And, yeah, I've just had the privilege of being kind of the fruit of our youth ministry myself. And so, yeah, I think as a youth leader, I've gone into that wanting to see that for the people I lead and wanting to raise them up and see things in them that and draw out things in them that maybe they didn't even realize they carried, and the God calling on their life and things like that. So that's been a prayer that I've had the whole 10 years that I've been a leader. And I think I've had an awesome privilege to be a part of a youth ministry that really believe in raising leaders and empowering the next generation. It's been something I've wanted for all those years and have been like, God, yeah, if there's people in my Connect that you want to, me to raise up to be a leader, to be a Connect leader, to, kind of be the person to, like, hand the baton onto, show me those people. And there's been a few times over the years where I've had girls that have been really, really consistent and faithful and really excited and wanting to become a leader and been starting to raise them up, and then it will be like out of nowhere they just drop off or you don't want to come anymore or anything like that. And that's been discouraging. But this year I have had the privilege of being able to raise and kind of empower, release three of my Connect girls to become Connect leaders. So, yeah. They are Aurora Springall and Aurora Heim and Elena Moxie. So they've just been girls. Like, Aurora Springall came in 2021, at the beginning of 2021. She just got brought with another one of my girls. And, that girl actually ended up not really coming around as much, but Aurora stayed. And it has just been, like, from the start, like, just someone who was just so, like, hungry for Jesus. And even with my own Connect, like, I would have Connect time, and like, it is sometimes a bit difficult being a Connect leader, but then also looking after so many other, like, facets of youth ministry or church. And Aurora was someone who I could really trust that if I wasn't with my girls, she would be the one, like, without even asking her, she's like, hey girls, like, okay, let's go around the circle, like, let's say what the best part of our day was today, or like, what's something you've been learning from, like, what did you get out of the word at youth tonight, or like, just always, like, she would take hold of our girls and like just own them. And I didn't even have to ask her to do that. It's just, you could tell that leadership was on her life. So she actually brought Aurora Heim to church, and Yeah, and then Elena just came with her family, turned up one day at church, and we actually, Aurora Springer actually took her under her wing and was like, "You're coming with us." We went to the Greens house, and then ever since then, like, that was the first day she came to church, and then ever since then, she's been a part of our youth ministry, and then, yeah, has become a Connect leader. So, yeah, it's fully God, but it's also nice to see, yeah, the things that you've sown, maybe it is going to be 10 years, but, like, yeah, if God's with you through it, like, you will see fruit from it. So, yeah.
Yeah, so good. Because I was going to say that, like, for anyone who is, I guess, discouraged or disheartened, I won't get you to put your hand up, but, you know, when you are discipling people and walking life with people, you know, there's all the messiness that comes with that, but there's the discouragement as well when you are expecting, you know, maybe somebody to walk with God for the rest of their life and they decide that it's not for them or whatever happens and they leave church. And that can be really discouraging as a leader. And for those of you that are Connect leaders or discipling people, you know the pain of that. But I love that this testimony shows the faithfulness and the obedience and the not giving up. And we don't know how many seeds that we sow, right, are going to produce fruit. But the fact that Libs didn't give up, even in all of those years, and now she's got incredible testimony and fruit from that, it's just a credit to you not giving up. And so, but also, obviously, to all glory to God that, you know, He is faithful and He is going to, I guess, come through. So can you pray for anyone in the room? Like I said, I won't put your hand up, but if you're sitting there and you're like, yes, actually, that is me when it comes to my own discipleship with my Connect group, that I just want to see fruit, or whether maybe you're in the room and you've actually never even started a Connect group or discipleship, but you feel like that's something that God's prompting in your heart and maybe there's a little bit of fear or discouragement there, would you mind praying for those two groups of people? So those that are discipling, for them to be encouraged and see fruit, and then maybe for the group of people that haven't yet started, that they would have that I guess encouragement and
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Cool. Awesome. Let's pray.
Yeah. God, I just thank you so much for just every single person in this room, God. And I thank you specifically right now for the Connect leaders, God, in the room. The ones who, have been planting seeds faithfully, who've been discipling faithfully. And God, for anyone who is in that group and hasn't seen fruit yet from what they've planted, God, I thank you that you are faithful. And I thank you that, if we trust your timing rather than our own, we will get to see. And if we're faithful to what you've promised us and faithful to what you've asked from us, we will get to see your, you bless and expand the things we've planted, God. And I just pray for anyone in the room right now who actually has that as it's maybe discouraging, or they're feeling discouraged, God. I pray that you will just shower them with your presence, that you remind them that you're with them, that you remind them why they're called to do what they do. That you will give them pictures of the people they're maybe called to reach, of the things that you want to see through them, God. And I thank you so much that you're not done yet. And God, I thank you for the people in the room who've maybe had that kind of spark of, oh, I'm actually called to be a leader, and are sitting here thinking like, oh yeah, that's what you're calling me to do, but maybe I'm scared, or maybe they don't even have that calling yet, and you are asking of them, God. I just pray that you will stir their hearts, God, that you will draw them to the right demographic, to the right people, God. I thank you so much that there's nothing greater than discipling people and drawing them to you and helping them to be all that you've called them to be, God. And so I pray that if there are people in the room who are wanting that, or are asking for that fruit, God, wanting to raise leaders, wanting to see those seeds that have been planted come to fruition, God, I just pray that you will bless that you will honor that you will see, that we will see that fruit, God. I thank you for our whole church family and our church as a whole, God, that we will see fruit, especially over the next year, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's thank Libs. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So good. Amazing. Is this good? I love hearing stories. It's so good. So the next person that we're going to welcome up is Jessica. Yes. This is Jessica. No. She's coming up. Hello, Jessie babes. So, this is Miss Jessica.
It's actually such a long walk, like Kayla.
So, this is Jess. She's married to Jono. They have a little beautiful daughter called Summer. And I guess just a little bit of a background to your kind of testimony to lead up to it. So Jessica's been obviously faithfully serving on our worship department, but also part of Connect Leading. So been doing Young Adults Connect for a lot of years with her husband, John. They had an amazing Connect group. Obviously, when you become a mum, you know, your season kind of shifts and changes a little bit. And I think for you, it was kind of working out what that looked like and kind of coming into a new season. How does that discipling look? And so just tell us a little bit about, I guess, that journey of change maybe with your mum's Connect.
So as Pastor Charlie said, we, John and I, ran a Young Adults Connect, and we still run that with alongside this as well, so you can do more than one. But so after having summer, I was connected with like a community mum's group through the hospital. And that was really fun. Like, I really enjoyed meeting new people, like outside the church as well, like connecting with people in the community. But as the bubs got older, we found taking prams and stuff into cafes was just chaotic. So it was a bit hard to fit like 10 prams plus all the babies running around. So, I was really looking at ideas to come up with to enable them to have a safe place, for us to all connect. But also, yeah, in that season, as you were saying, like just navigating through what we should do ministry-wise, I just felt a bit of a wrestle, like when you feel like there's something new that you should be doing, but you haven't quite got the idea of what it is yet. So just processing that with the Lord and coming up with ideas with Him. I had like a vision one day of those paper bark trees, like with all the paper bark that kind of, you know, when you're little and you go and you pull it and then there's like a spider and you're like, ah, and you run away. Has anyone encountered that? Just an Australian thing. But yeah, I had a vision of that and I was like, oh, that's weird. And I said to Jono, like, oh, what is like, what do those bark trees do? Like, you know, trying to interpret it. And he was like, I don't know, like, they're just bark trees and whatever he said. So I just left it. And then I went to a creative night and we were doing worship in the cafe. And I just had this wrestle and I was feeling really discouraged and I was like, I don't know, you know, what to do next. And so I ended up sitting outside at the end and the lovely Jo came and sat with me. She's so beautiful. And she's like just talking. She was like, I just saw a picture of this bark tree. And I was like, shut up. But also don't, because this is great. And then she kept going and I was like, just stop. And she was like, what? And I was like, no, keep going. And I was like, it's a really funny encounter. But yeah, she got to interpret what that meant, which was really cool. And yeah, just got lots of words in my heart from the Lord to start something. And I was like, well, we don't really, there's a lot of, there's a few days in the week where there isn't much going on at the church. Maybe I could find out if we could do something out here. So yeah, my one like prerequisite was I was like, there has to be barista coffee because mums don't function without decent coffee. So that was, it probably seems little, but I was like, we need coffee. So trying to get that organized was probably the only big hurdle. But then the beautiful Jade volunteered to help us with coffee. So shout out to the cafe team and her as well. And also Bonnie, I don't know if Bonnie's in here, but she, where are you, Bonnie? Hey. We decided to do a Thursday because that was Bonnie's day off and she has a heart for it as well. So we were both running it together and she's been an incredible like blessing throughout that. But yeah, it just popped up like the ad on a few Facebook places and saw like a lot of mums and bubs start coming. We've only done 5 in the whole year and there's been 54 mums and bubs come, which has been so good. And that's like, that's literally just the Lord bringing them in because like all I did was pop out an ad and like be faithful to what was on my heart. And thankfully they don't all come at the one time because that would be chaotic. But yeah, it's just been so lovely to see that. And I guess my encouragement is like, if you've got something stirring in your heart and you're not really sure what it is, but there's something pressing on you, just keep seeking the Lord about it and find out what it is and then go through the obstacles and just start it. Like whether it's like a dinner thing to invite people in the community or something creative, like you don't know what God's going to do with it, and if he's placed that idea there, he's going to be the one that's going to make the seed grow. So I'm just super thankful that we've been allowed to use the property. Also, the random thing as well is I thought it was for the original mums group. None of them have ever come. So, like, it's been that there's that group already, but none of them were actually part of the vision. It's actually the new seeds that were coming in, and they're the ones that have been impacted and planted by it. So it was bigger than that original group. So that's pretty sick too, I reckon. Yeah.
So good. So good. And a lot of those mums are from the community, right? Like, they're not necessarily church going.
Yeah, like most of them haven't been to church. Yeah. We saw another cool thing was we saw one of the mums and bubs come out to church like probably like 2 months ago. Still in connection with her, which is cool. But it was cool to see like the fruit of them coming into church. And whether they come into this building or not, like that's not the point. They get to come into a safe place where there is the presence of God. And like even with the original mums group, like most of them didn't come because as soon as I said the word church, they were like, oh, and you're like, it's a building, cool, and it's free. But but the other ones that have come in have really like, yeah, been impacted by that.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that it was a change of season, but that you were faithful and you didn't just go, oh, well, it's just too hard. I just won't do anything. But obviously that wrestle with God of what's the next thing in my season is really powerful. And I love that it was confirmed as well. How cool is that? And that it's community, like it's an outreach for our community to be loved and experience the presence of God. And like what Jess said, it's not even about them necessarily coming to a service, but they're connecting with her and Bonnie and Jade, who are spirit-filled young women, and that every conversation they have, they're encountering the Father's love. And I know as a young mum, like that's definitely needed within our area. So I think that that's amazing. So I want to get you to pray, if that's okay. And if you're in this place and you feel maybe that kind of call or that, I guess, what's the word, like tension in you when it comes to outreach. Maybe there's something in you that you're like, you know, there's something that you want to start, or there's a group, there's a hobby group, or there's something that you're interested in where you're like, oh, I just feel like there's something in me that could really minister into that in terms of an outreach sense, not necessarily like Libby's was a little bit more discipleship, you know, connect based. But I think what Jess is doing, it's a little bit more evangelistic outreach, being the light in the darkness, you know, the light on the hilltops type thing. If that's you, again, you don't have to put your hand up, but I just would love for you to pray for these people just to have that, I guess, whether it's the next step or the confirmation, like what she had with Joe, but just that kind of clarification of your next season and just that sparking of actually getting going and seeing that fruit. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, let's pray.
All right, Father, I thank you so much that life with you is an adventure. And I thank you, God, that it's the risks and it's that that wrestle, God, that makes things even more exciting with you. And I thank you that relationship with you, God, isn't stagnant, but there is highs and lows, there's ups and downs, but you come through in every single season. And right now I just pray, God, that you'll start to just plant seeds in people's hearts, Lord, to step out creatively and do things, God, that are going to encourage their heart, but also cause people to be able to be impacted by your love, Jesus. And yeah, I pray for anyone that might you know, be struggling with fear in this place and worried about what it looks like. I thank you, God, that you promise that you have the steps forward, God, and that you know what it looks like already. So we just declare new fruit in this next season, God. We declare more people impacted by your love. And we just declare right now peace over every person sitting in this room and wisdom and clarity, God, for their next season in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks for sharing. Why don't we thank Jess? Awesome, awesome. And our last one that we want to welcome up is Pastor Paul. Let's welcome up Pastor Paul. So good. So we've had Matt talk about provision or promotion to do with job. We had Cynthia talking about the provision of a new church family. Libby talking about the promotion of her Connect Girls. Jess talking about provision of a new outreach discipleship group. And Paul, you're going to share with us a testimony around presence and healing, the Father's presence and healing. So Benara and I were just chatting just before. We remember starting this journey, I guess, with you and Michelle, where we think we were down in Naruma and we got a phone call from Pastor Paul and Michelle saying that they were in a waiting room. They were waiting to hear about a really quite significant diagnosis to do with his health and whether we could pray for them. And that would have been a couple of years ago now. And the journey of that with both of you has just been incredible. But today is a celebration testimony of the healing of that. So we'd love to be able to hear that story. Yeah.
Well, a lot of you would know that some time ago, probably about in 2019, when I lost the election to the state parliament, it really started just before that I had high blood pressure, and things, the stress of that job was quite high. And so we were dealing with the shock of not being re-elected for a start, and then the cut-off of a wage, literally. You know, once you, if you lose, people think that you're on a pension and everything else. You're not on a parliamentary pension. That used to be. So we, like, our economic supply was cut off. Our career, what we believe God had led us to up until that point in time, God had shown us every step. We've been here nearly 30 years, I think 30 years next year. Michelle's already been here 30 years in this church, and most of the way God has shown us where to go, what to do, track. And for the first time in our spiritual life in 2019, it's like everything just shut off. It's just like just turning the lights off and you're in black. And it's like, hang on, I know you're still there, God. You know, I know you're in the room with me, but where are you? I can't see you. I can't sense you. And then on top of that, God goes, now I'm going to allow you to sense and walk through some stuff that you've not been, you know, and that's called illness. And the good thing is for us is that, hey, you know, if we had love for God and the outworking for God, if we had everything that we wanted, we wouldn't need God. Right. So sickness and trouble and challenges makes us draw near to Him. Yeah. And so we were going to go through the next few years a season of Job, and I kept saying to my wife, is that like we're just like Job. We're not going to blame God. God is allowing this for something. And so I had a little turn one morning. I woke up and my heart was beating like probably 140, 160 beats per minute, which is not usual. And unusually, that wasn't for my wife on this occasion. this was just... And so we went to the hospital, and I'm laying there, and we just found out that, you know, I've had a bit of atrial fibrillation. And so it's cool. It's like, this was unusual. It never happened before. So my blood pressure was dealing with that, and then suddenly it's atrial fibrillation, and I was just about to go home. And then it's like me looking at you. Has anyone looked through 3D glasses in 2D view? And everything's doubled. Or, you know how you look through a 3D thing? And, yep. And it's all like all over the place. Just before I went home, my eyes went like that. So they thought I was having a stroke. So they take me into the hospital, and I'm in the stroke unit. And the next minute, I go for a CT scan of my head to see if I've had a bleed or something. And then when I'm coming out of that CT scan, the lady says to me, she says, oh boy, you're in for a ride, aren't you? A roller coaster ride. That's what she said when I come out of school. Because you have to understand, I nearly know everyone in Nowra, but I don't know who I know. But they all know me because I was mayor. And so they speak to me like I'm their best friend. And she's saying, oh, Paul, you're going to have a roller coaster ride, aren't you? And I didn't know anything else. Then next bit, we're in the hospital in the stroke unit. And this lady who we know in the hospital comes up crying. I'm so sorry, Paul. I'm so sorry for you. I'm just so sorry. I just can't believe it. And like, we still haven't had the doctor tell us. Wow. It's not looking good.
Medical training.
And so, so we had people, and I'm going through the corridor in a wheelchair, and people are looking like, oh, Paul. And we didn't know about this. So eventually we get the doctor who comes in and says, look, we've done a CT scan, and the good thing is there's nothing wrong with your CT, but look, we picked up that your nodes are swollen and it can be lymphoma, sarcoidosis or something else, but it's more likely to be, you know, lymphoma. So now we realise why everyone's crying, because I'm going to die. It's like, this is not good news. And so we're trying to arrange our end-of-life stuff, and, you know, Eden was doing the HSC, and I was trying to look after Eden in that regard, and my kids, that, you know, they're all coming in saying, Dad, you know, and I'm just saying, whatever you do, whatever happens, make sure you follow Jesus, yeah. Okay? Dad might go, but follow Jesus. That's my heart for you. So we did all the tests, you know, went through all the stroke tests and everything else, and we came out, and none of that happened, which was great. The lymph, the nodes were still full, so they took a biopsy. So they took a biopsy and went, oh, you know, that could be lymphoma. And it's like, it's probably not. It's probably something called sarcoidosis. So then, so they take me for a full body scan. The next minute, so I think, oh, okay, we've got this under control. It's that. Then they find lumps on my lungs. And now I think I've got cancer of the lungs. 2 centimeter things on my lungs. You know, and so I'm like, my goodness. And he's saying, no, I'm pretty sure it'll be something else. And I go, you don't live, I'm pretty sure. If you've got lumps on the lung from a nursing point of view, yeah, it's not good. Yeah. So now I'm having a lung biopsy looking for things on my lungs. And fortunately, later on, the results of that was it was called granulomas. So what sort of sarcoidosis is, it's inflammatory cells choosing going around your body. You know, your brain's got nothing to do with it. It just goes places and attacks you. So one minute I could be having a hot leg, and women might appreciate some of this. Sometimes I have a hot flush. Yes, we do get them, ladies. I've had them regularly. It was like, what's happening? And my blood pressure went berserk. And of course, what happened in the middle of that? I thought I was the only person on the earth that it was suffering. So suddenly, I wasn't working. I was at home. I was all alone. I'm thinking I'm dying because my body's doing everything. And everyone had to join me at home because of COVID. And guess what? God then sent some financial support called COVID payments. So, like, I was flat broke, and what else happened in COVID was we were allowed to take out $10,000 from our super in 2 lots, which allowed me to take out 2 lots of super and put it in my mortgage account because I couldn't pay the mortgage. And so we were able to get ahead. How good's that? Now, that's never happened in Australia's history that the government said you can access your super. So how good is God? Like, you know, we're worrying about the mortgage and everything like that. And my body's going spastic. There's still things happening. My heart still things. I've got medication. Anxiety, like suffered terrible anxiety. I just feel like I couldn't get out of bed. I'm going to die. All these things. I ran, I'll just say, in that last mayoral race that I ran election, you've got no idea. My body was breaking down, but by faith, I ran that election because I couldn't rule out that God didn't want me to be mayor and wasn't preparing a way for me to do that. So I want to just say something really, really important. You might be going through something with your health. Okay, I'm not dying. Well, I am, as are all of you, very slowly. Just to encourage you. So we're all dying. So that's why it's good to get saved and be with God. But can I just say this to you? We need God. Yeah. Amen? And I just want to give you this tip, is that while Michelle and I are going through this, my kids were just awesome, you know. They just supported me as a dad. I think poor old Mike, his 21st birthday was during COVID. The best we could do was get hamburgers and sit around the picnic table and celebrate his 21st, of which I virtually fell off the table because the COVID had interrupted my sarcoidosis. And my world went around and I just had to get down. So the poor guy didn't even get a really good 21st. But God's good, and the kids, they've just been fantastic to be able to accept where we are as a family and usher us through a really tough period. So can I just say to you, rely on your family and just help them. Every turn I've tried to be honest about my health and that, to the point of death, okay, because the only thing I want to take with me to heaven is not the house or the car or, you know, other things. The only things I really want to take to heaven is my family. You know, I know my wife's going to get there, and I know some of my kids are going to get there, but my heart is that all my children get to heaven. And so, you know, so the goal is, when I'm on my deathbed, I'm telling them, follow Jesus, because I want to see you in heaven. But the other thing that undergird us, as with Job, is the Word of God. And you might be feeling all sorts of things. You might be thinking, you might be even saying, Paul, you've got no idea. I can tell you, I've got an idea. Okay, I've got an idea of what it is to struggle. But can I just say this? God gave us some promises and some prophecies, and this is what it comes back to. Who here has got a prophecy from God? You're going to do something, things are going to come. You haven't seen some things that he's prophesied over your life. Can I just say to you this? I kept saying to Michelle in our quiet time, because it gets really concerning. Why we can't get a job yet. I'm not right to get a job. I don't feel right. My body's doing all these things. When I think I'm finally right, it's turning another turn. And you'd feel that. And then you're going this way. So the new normal is to work with my health the way it is and take, you know, like driving a car, you've got to put gas, petrol and oil in it and water. Otherwise, it's not going to go, okay? And so you can't expect your body to keep going. If the doctor says, take this pill to help your diabetes, take this pill to help this, hit this pill, take the pills, okay? Because they're to help your car, your motor run and help you outwork the cause of God in your life. The thing I want to say to you is stick with what God's prophecy was over your life. Ours is this: enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtain wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess the nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid of being put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth, and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband, is the Lord Almighty his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. So what I want to say to you, in sickness, in health, hold on to God. Hold on to his promises. Because your world, if you live long enough, your world will be shaken. More than once, more than likely. But our world, Michelle and my world, has never been shaken as it has in the last 4 years. The final story is I go to the doctor, our doctor, about the lumps on my lungs, because I need to clarify, is this cancer? Because if it's cancer, I want to put some things in order and get my house in order and say some things to people and encourage them to go on with the Lord if I'm going to die, you know. But I went to him and two miracles happened that day. He said the test came back and those lumps on my lungs are gone. So they found all these lumps, 2 centimetres, gone. And the second miracle was he did not charge me for that appointment. So I want to say to you, you know, I still have challenges in my body and things are, you know, throwing up and that. But can I just encourage you tonight? God's favour is with you. And that doesn't mean a free ride. It means we've got some challenges. And you might have some physical challenges, mental challenges, psychological challenges. God is with you. He's for you. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to have to walk through those challenges. God's restored my health, praise God.
It's awesome. So good. So, Pastor Paul, I just would love for you to pray for anyone in this room that needs some healing, that needs a bit of a testimony when it comes to God's presence touching their life. And we talk about the Father's favor in terms of his presence going with us. We believe that healing, that's a manifestation of his presence. And so if you're in this room, why don't you just... put your hand up if that's okay, if you physically need some healing. And I'm just going to get Pastor Paul to pray for those people if that's okay. Awesome.
Yeah, okay. Actually, can we stand up? And seriously, if you need healing, why don't you put your hand up, and if you're near that person, lay hands on them, because the Bible says lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Yeah.
Okay, and I want to encourage you. No, don't be embarrassed by this. There's so many things in our life. Okay, mentally, all sorts of things that we're taking on, and God wants to heal us, amen? So if you need someone, put your hand up if you need healing. Awesome. Don't be ashamed. Seriously, I came up for healing, and look what God did in my life. Healed time and time and time again. Okay, let's pray, church. Father, I just thank you that you're a good God. Yes. You're a faithful God. Yes. And Lord God, just because we follow you doesn't mean that our troubles are instantly over, Lord God. Doesn't mean that our challenges are over. But Lord, you're a God that's interested in every person in this auditorium, in their health, in their life, in their workplace, in their fellowship, in their discipleship, all the people that spoke this morning, Lord God, in their jobs. Lord, you're a God that cares. And so, Lord, for each person that is receiving prayer this morning, I pray that you would heal them, Lord God. You would encourage their hearts, and Lord God, and above all things, Lord God, they would not let go of the promises you have spoken over their life. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit. May you continue to speak to them in these times of challenge, Lord God. And may each one of us become more effective disciples because of the road we have walked with you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your joy. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor Paul. Why don't we thank Pastor Paul for sharing? Thank you. We were going to do it in the service, but we realized that we've gone over time. Like we said, we are collecting these testimonies throughout the year. So if you have been sitting there and you're like, oh, that just reminded me about what God's done, they'll be up on the screen, I'm pretty sure. We've got a link on our website that you can go and you can write your testimony down. If you don't have a device or you'd prefer just to do it manually, we have up the back testimony cards. Oh, here. They look like this. Thank you, Miss Eden. Just testimony cards. If you want to physically write down, it can be anonymous. You don't have to write your name. But just a testimony of God's favor from the year so that we can collect them, celebrate them. You can drop this in at the office on your way out. That would be amazing to just celebrate what God has done. Pardon?
Sorry. On the website, if you want to go have a look, there's about 30 or 40 stories already of the Father's favour. So just go to celebrationchurch.com.au, and if you just want to read through that, and we'd love to add your story to the collection. And you can put your name on it or you can just put anonymous. But let's just take time as a church to honour the Lord for all that he's done this year. And that'll be amazing. But hey, why don't we pray over you as we finish? If you're here with your spouse, take them by the hand. If you're here by yourself, just lift your hands to heaven. We're going to pray a blessing over you today in Jesus' name. Father, we just honour you. We thank you for the amazing testimonies today. And we thank you for everything that you've done this year. We thank you for everything you're going to do going to next year. And Holy Spirit, we just take a moment and just say thank you. Why don't you just say thank you, church? Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your favor. We thank you, Lord, that you go ahead of us and you surround us. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless every person in this church community and through this church community, bless our wonderful city. Lord, we thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hey, all, have an awesome day, guys. Be blessed and enjoy this afternoon. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.